I'm Dave DeWitt. This is Tested from WUNC, a daily look at how North Carolina is dealing with COVID-19 and what we're learning about ourselves in the face of a global crisis. Today, crashing. Entering week two of social distancing, and the economy is in free fall. That has the president and others wavering on the measures that medical personnel say will save lives. That dispute between the illness and the pain caused by the remedy is real, but it affects people unevenly. Ilana owns a maid service in Greensboro.
This has been such a difficult time for us. If there's no work, the maids can't pay their bills, pay their rent. We are much, much more concerned about them. It's the people who just barely get by anyway who are really suffering in this.
Today is National Takeout Day, but like so many, our family has tried to support local restaurants for the past week or so. Over the weekend, we ordered pickup from one of our favorite places, and as I was checking out, I asked the co-owner how she was holding up. She shook her head and relayed a quick story of having to lay off most of her staff, and then trying, unsuccessfully, to help them sign up for the unemployment benefits online. But the website kept crashing.
This is really uncharted territory. We're worried that in the short run, a large number of restaurants are just going to go under, and that's a huge concern.
Bill Lester is an economics professor at UNC Chapel Hill.
Not only for the restaurant owners and employees, but for our ability to bounce back from this economic crisis.
Lester says these smaller, family-owned restaurants need cash, gift cards, takeout orders, anything to keep them afloat. And the laid-off employees need help, too. Congress is working on it. State government is working on it. But both are fighting over how much of a stimulus should go to corporations and how much straight to people. So let's start there with WUNC reporter Jason DeBruin. Let's get an idea of the scope of unemployment in North Carolina and what it means for our state's economy.
Well, the number is actually pretty staggering. It's like 113,000 people. And to put that in perspective, a normal week, like for the past, 6 months or so, has been like 3,500. So you go from 3,500 people per week to 113,000 people just in 1 week. Wow. It's incredible. I mean, I had to look at the number like two or three times, even just to sort of wrap my mind around how big this was just in this first week. And I don't know how many weeks that's going to go on for, but I mean, if that's just 1 week, I imagine it's going to be at least another, couple weeks of really high numbers. So, when this is all said and done, it really could be a lot of people.
So let's go back in time a little bit. The state has more than $3 billion in its rainy day fund and unspent expenditures, but that money got there largely because the General Assembly made cuts to unemployment benefits and other safety nets that, as we say around here, might could help right now, in favor of tax cuts and flat budgets for things like county public health departments. Has that had an impact, or will it have an impact in what's available now?
Yeah, that's sort of the million-dollar question, I suppose. And also, you could sort of think of it like, okay, so people that are living completely paycheck to paycheck right now, and they miss one paycheck, and they're in big trouble. If they would have had a little bit more money for the past 6-8 months, maybe they wouldn't be in such a dire financial situation. But if that were the case, then maybe the safety net right now would be $1.5 billion instead of $3 billion. So I don't know. I guess maybe the bigger thing is, as long as the money that's available from these state coffers, as long as that state aid gets to the people who really do need it and gets to people who will then circulate that money back into the economy, you can have, granular arguments about, was it better to do it 6-8 months ago, or is it best to do it now? The bigger thing in my mind is just to make sure that it gets to the right people, that it actually gets to people, and that, those people then can help to circulate that money back in the economy.
And that money will come from the state. It'll come from the federal government. Some of it will go to corporations. Some of it will go directly to people. But the biggest decision is kind of still to be made, when to kind of ease these restrictions on social distancing and allow the restaurants, bars, and other businesses to reopen. And that is literally balancing lives against the pending economic recovery.
Yeah, and that's a difficult decision to make. I do not envy the policymakers having to make that choice. You know, some of the things the president said are literally true, right? I mean, there are car accidents, but we don't tell people that they can't drive, right? The flu does kill people every year, and yet we don't shut everything down from, you know, whatever, December to March. So we sort of make these calculations every single year of knowing that, yes, the flu is going to spread, but it's not going to kill enough people. Yes, people are going to die in car accidents, but, you know, our nation is set up that people have to drive. So it's not like this is a completely novel idea that we have to make, you know, a novel decision that policymakers have to make. It's certainly, you know, receiving a heightened focus. I mean, that's an understatement, obviously. But that is a decision that we're going to have to make at some point. And whoever makes that decision is going to receive criticism, because no matter when that decision is made, people are going to die after that point. But no matter when that decision is made, the economy will be hurt before that point. So no matter at what point you make the decision to open things back up again, you know, you can receive criticism from either side. So the, you know, the most important thing, of course, is just to listen to the experts, to make a reasoned decision based on factual information. And then once you've made that decision, to go with it, you know, lead, be a good leader. And I'm just that, you know, that's from the national perspective, from the state perspective, and even locally. And then, you know, you just try to go from there and hope that you can make the best decision based on the best information that you have at the time.
Right. And so much of it will be based on whether they're listening to scientists and doctors or whether they're listening to business owners and economists of a certain type. You mentioned sort of the national state level. You know, obviously, President Trump has made a lot of comments recently about reopening the economy as early as next week. And a lot of people are concerned that he's not listening to epidemiologists. And he's not listening to scientists. Governor Roy Cooper has been listening more to the scientists than maybe the business community here. And even if Donald Trump reopens the economy, you're still going to have Governor Roy Cooper and mayors will have more power over the local economy here. And obviously that's true in other places too.
You know, that's such a good point. And the reverse is true too. Let's say that everything went into a complete lockdown. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, short of having the literal US military dispatched across the nation, it is incumbent, or, you know, the federal government relies on local police departments and sheriff offices to actually enforce those rules, right? So there's a saying, right, that every disaster is local, but it really is true. I mean, how somebody in rural North Carolina versus Raleigh versus somewhere in Kansas versus somebody in California, how this crisis impacts them can be quite different. And how their local governments respond can also be quite different. And so how this whole thing affects people can be very different. So indeed, it will matter very much what your local governments do. And certainly that means Governor Cooper, but it very much also means, you know, county commissioners and city councils, you know, in the big cities like Charlotte and Raleigh, but in smaller towns as well.
Jason DeBruin is a reporter at WUNC. Hang tight, more in a moment.
Tested is a production of WUNC North Carolina Public Radio. And this is a good time to say thank you to everyone who supports WUNC. Whether you're an individual donor or a business, we cannot say thank you enough for providing us with the resources and opportunity to serve the state of North Carolina with up-to-the-minute news and information. Everyone at WUNC is working around the clock to do just that at this unique and perilous moment in our history, and we couldn't manage without your help. So thank you. And if you're able, please go to WUNC.org if you want to donate for the first time or perhaps increase your support.
I don't think it's a reach to say that the UNC Board of Governors and the UNC system has been a volatile, even chaotic operation these last few years. There have been three presidents in the past 4 years or so, and even more turnover of board chairs. One board member conducted a shadow investigation of a chancellor, and no one really likes how they've handled Silent Sam. None of that seemed to bode well for how university leaders would handle this pandemic. But the system had an ace up its sleeve. Dr. Bill Roper, the interim president, used to be the director of the CDC. He was there from 1990 to 1993, right in the middle of the AIDS epidemic. Yesterday, Roper spoke in a video released on social media.
To mobilize nearly 240,000 students across the system, our system and each of our institutions have had to apply strict guidance in little time.
Having a scientist and a public health expert lead the UNC system at this time was a happy accident. Roper has also been dean of the UNC Medical School and CEO of UNC Healthcare. That experience and the calm, cool demeanor is apparent and hugely valuable right now in keeping everything in perspective.
There are many, many moving parts to this situation, and they're moving very quickly. We don't yet have answers to all the questions, but we're working diligently to find those answers as quickly as we can. We're addressing the most critical issues first: health and safety, the transition to online learning, and the well-being of our students in need. I know that matters related to fees and room and board and grades are important, but they aren't as urgent as these other issues are right now.
With so many issues and decisions and so many faculty, staff, and students, disagreements can't be avoided. But it's hard to imagine a more qualified person at the helm of the UNC system right now. That's it for this episode of Tested. I'm Dave DeWitt. Lindsay Foster Thomas is our executive producer. Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.